We get a lot of musical guests on the Roadhouse and some awfully good ones, but I believe that this may be the first time that we have somebody that Chet Atkins called one of the greatest finger pickers in the world today,
and I'm
that's
pretty
Pat
sure it
Donahue.
Is.
Pat, thanks so much for joining us on the Roadhouse.
Thank you very much for having me.
Just again to let people know that you will be appearing tomorrow night on stage right here in Grand Marais at North House Folk School as part of Unplugged. Thank you so much again for taking the time. This is a busy schedule, I know.
But well, it's come not up. Far from here.
Anyway. That's right. You can
We're
do
all close
pretty
up here,
quickly.
Anything is very far away from anything else.
Now, of course, a lot of people know you from the CDs that you've done, but probably as many know you by the fact that you have been part of the Prairie Home Companion scene for, I think, what, like 10 years now or maybe a little more?
Like 20, yeah.
Oh, 20 years. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Doing that show with as part of the Guys All-Star Shoe Band.
Guys All-Star Shoe Band,
yes.
Yeah. Now, how did you happen to come to be associated with Prairie Home Companion?
Well, it's been, they just celebrated their 40th year on the air. And in an earlier incarnation of the show back in the 80s, I was an occasional guest, maybe a half dozen times.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 93, Garrison just kind of rearranged the show back into a Prairie Home Companion, and he sought out some people that he had worked with in the past and just kind of put together a band. And
okay.
I just got a call one day, and that was that.
For those that don't know, Prairie Home Companion is a seldom listened to show on a competing network, but... Now, where are you from? I know you live in St. Paul now. Where are you from originally?
I actually am from St. Paul.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What part of St. Paul?
Well, if you know where McAllister College is.
I went to McAllister College.
In that Groveland area, I live within blocks of there.
Okay, yeah. Great. Now, and I generally ask musicians this, one of the first questions. Did you come from a musical background? Was there a lot of music in your home?
Not a lot, although my sister sang, she's an older sister, sang and played guitar. And when I was a little kid, I used to sing with her quite a bit. But then nobody else in my family seemed musically inclined.
Huh. So how did you happen to pick up the, or was the guitar your first instrument?
No, I was a drummer
back
before this. But I did pick up my sister's guitar when she was away at school one day, and that was the end of that.
And your parents encouraged you with the guitar. My brother took drum lessons, and he was highly encouraged to take up a different instrument.
Yes, what
kills me about what I read about Pat and what a number of musicians that have been here have said is you've never had lessons, really.
No, if I would have been made to take lessons, I probably would have rebelled against it and not been a musician.
You'd be selling snacks and bonds today.
That's just impossible to understand. Uh-huh. I mean, you have an innate talent that... Obviously, I don't have. Bob doesn't have. I know that for sure.
No.
Yeah, just kind of that, a dogged persistence.
It's funny how you discover that sort of thing.
Yeah, I just remember my first musical memories are trying to emulate what I was hearing on a record player or on the radio or something. You know,
huh. As Dick mentioned, a lot of... I don't know if it's always... Well, it isn't always, but it does seem to be characteristic of... people who play the guitar, that they're able to somehow start. We've got a local guy here that's awfully good guitarist, Pete Kavanaugh, who, same deal. He just started emulating what he heard.
It's an easy instrument to get started on. It's not an easy instrument to conquer at all, but
no.
You can play a chord and sound pretty good.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, you know? And if you learn two chords, you've learned 100 songs.
Yeah.
So it is easy in that sense, and so a lot of people get started on it. But, you know, when you want to get better, that's when the actual work comes in.
Well Pat's got his guitar in his hands right now. I think we ought to...
I was going to say, let's find out what it sounds like when people really do get good at it. What can you start us off with?
I'll play a little ragtime piece here.
All right.
It's called West Coast Blues.
Pat Donahue, if you do. great.
Holy cow. Well, yeah. Great.
If that's a difficult instrument to conquer, I would say you are victorious.
Yeah. I would also defy anybody to listen to that and then try to do it, by ear.
Just, yeah, emulate it. Yeah, that's
pretty
that's
tough.
Amazing. Now, but, what type of music did you, when you first took up the guitar, when you first started playing, was there a particular kind of music that you gravitated towards or that you still gravitate towards, or you're kind of interested in all types of music?
Well, when I first started playing, I was, it was the mid-60s, and I was, or early 60s maybe, and I was very influenced by the folk movement of the time, and mm-hmm. and also the Beatles. You know, I was yep. a big Beatles fan, and I remember learning the guitar. I think I had a book of Beatles songs with the chord symbols above the words, and so I kind of learned a bunch of songs like that, and then I kind of figured out how music goes a little bit by doing that. But then I started listening to blues pretty early on, especially early 20th century blues mm-hmm. from the 30s and 40s and so mm-hmm. forth. And the guitar styles really, really tripped my trigger. I just love that.
Yeah, amazing.
So what you're playing now is reminiscent of those guitar styles? I mean...
Yeah, well, that last piece there was West Coast Blues. It was by a guy named Blind Blake, mm-hmm. Who recorded in the late 1920s. And he was a Southern blind street musician, but he was really one of the best guitar players out of that lot there. He was a really great finger picker, ragtime player.
Talk about finger picking as opposed to what?
Yeah,
strumming?
Some people play with their toes, maybe. It's talking about the plucking hand, you know.
Uh-huh.
And of course, uh-huh. and some people use a pick, like a guitar pick.
Sure.
And I do sometimes too. But finger styles, when you just use your bare fingers and play one string at a time, kind of, or combinations of strings, as opposed to strumming. With a pick, finger picking sounds more like that.
And I noticed that on that last tune, you had, I don't know what you call them, picks on
your
thumb.
Yeah, I had the finger picks on
finger
my
picks.
Fingers.
But
yeah.
Now you're just there, you're just doing it.
I've taken them off.
Naked.
I'm naked now, yeah. Good thing this
folks,
is radio.
Folks, it's radio,
yeah, right?
And I am going to, well, if I do another song, I'll do a song without picks on. It has a different tone to it. It's kind of a softer tone.
And you're also playing next Friday in Duluth.
In Duluth at the
Amazing Grace Cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't been up there for a long time, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's a great place to play.
That is a great place.
Very intimate. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So now, this next tune you're going to do with your naked fingers.
Just my naked fingers, although on the other hand, I'm going to put a slider bottleneck, and it's a time-honored blues instrument in itself. You know,
yeah.
I used to break the neck off of a booze bottle and get the sound. And I'll play this tune. I think it's a traditional piece. It's called Come Back, Baby. Let's talk it over one more time. I will admit that I was wrong, 'cause little girl been gone too long. Well, come back, baby. Let's talk it over one more time. Thank you. I could holler like a mountain jack. I go up on the mountain, call my baby back. Well, come back, baby. Let's talk it over one more time. Let's talk it over one more time.
Oh, that's sweet. Wonderful. That's terrific. Thank you. There at times during that piece, it almost sounded like your guitar was a resonator.
It's resonating to some extent, although I know what you mean. It's not built that way, but there's something about slide, I think, that brings out that sound.
That sound.
In guitars, because they play it on resonator a lot, slide. You know?
Do you have a particular guitar that you, I mean, brand of guitar that you favor?
Well, this one right here is the Martin Pat Donahue signature model.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw in this.
I did read something about it.
I prefer this one.
Yeah.
I would have to say that even if I didn't. But no, actually, I do. I love this guitar. So
the Martin Guitar Company recently introduced a custom signature edition, series OM-30DB, designed to Pat's specifications. That's what he's playing.
Yeah, the DB stands for a deep body. It's a little bit bigger in the body department.
Okay.
That's what that is.
And so if Dick Swanson, for instance, decided to try and take up the guitar, foolish idea, I know, but could he go to a music store and say, I want the Pat Donahue signature edition?
Yes, he might have to special order it because they don't carry them at every store. The bigger music stores around.
Well, I would only go to the bigger music stores.
Absolutely, the big box stores.
There's a dozen of them in the country that would have these. But
that's interesting. And so they would order it, and it would come built like yours is to your specifications. Uh-huh. So that's great. How many, there can't be a lot of people that they do that for.
That's kind of an honor.
Gee, I don't know. Would think they have an artist endorsement campaign, fairly aggressive, but I don't know who all the people are.
It reminds me of when I was a little kid. You always wanted to have Hank Aaron's bat. The one that had Hank Aaron.
Yeah, autographed glove. Yeah,
we all really believed that was the kind of bat he used. Now, I saw by your website, too. I mean, you're at the Amazing Grace next Friday night.
Right.
Not long after that, you're in Portland, Oregon with Mary Flower.
Yeah.
You do a lot of shows.
I do. And you know Mary? She's been a friend of mine forever.
Mary's been up here.
She's been up here before. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to do something in Portland. It's like a teaching weekend.
Okay.
Out there.
And, great.
With a concert involved, too.
Good. You obviously also write quite a bit of music. I mean, you've had a lot of success with music you've written.
I've written some songs, I'm not that prolific, but I've got a few out there.
You've got some that were performed by some, Chet Atkins and
Susie Boggess. That's right. Kenny Rogers did one.
Kenny Rogers, yeah, that's cool.
And I think I should have some other people do it. Uh-huh. So if you're a really famous singer out there, I want you to consider some of these.
Now, when you do a set or a show, how much of your own stuff versus stuff like you've done for us tonight, which is early blues stuff?
Generally play, I've been doing those tunes quite a bit. It's kind of a revolving set. I can keep about a night's worth of music in my head and hands, and then I have to relearn old things again, and the process of doing that, I forget something else. So, but I usually do, I sing a good deal of what I do, and I probably write over half of the songs that I do.
Have you got one that you've, your own pieces you could do tonight?
I can play you one, sure.
Yeah.
Be great. This is one, let's see, it's called the Exercise Blues.
Ah.
You should be able to relate to that. I can. Looking great. My baby told me to lose some weight. She said, I love you, I think you're sweet. But when I hug you, my hands don't meet. And I said, darling, oh, don't you realize I get the blues when I exercise? I feel the heat, I'm out of breath. My heart is beating, I'm close to death. I try to hustle, but it's a strain. Ain't got a muscle that's not in pain. It's times like this I realize I get the blues when I exercise, yeah. Pumping on the bike, another something that I don't like. I get to treading on the mill, and get to sweating and lose my will. I guess I'm just one of those guys. I get the blues when I exercise, yeah. She got me running, she got me biking. She got me running, biking, jogging, hiking. Everywhere I go, and I let it roll. I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess I'm just one of those guys. I get the blues when I exercise. Play it for me. These mornings, it won't be long. You're gonna wake up and find some of me gone. I'm gonna wheeze and touch my toes till I can squeeze back in my clothes. Or maybe just buy a larger size. Yes, cause I get the blues when I exercise. Yes, I do.
All right. All right, I hope everybody heard that. That's the best excuse I've ever heard for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was wonderful. Wonderful.
All right. Yeah, I don't suppose the football coach is going to play that as a warm-up.
Probably not. Probably not, no. But that's all right. He's there and we're here.
Yeah.
So, oh, that was great. That was great.
Every now and then this time of year, I get the urge to get out and get some exercise.
Yeah.
But it passes.
I have to sit and let that pass.
Well, you can go hike up here tomorrow.
I might do that.
Might do it, yeah. Some good trails around.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Now, you mentioned part of the thing that you're doing with Mary out in Portland is like a workshop.
Yes.
So do you do quite a bit of that? I know that you have some teaching CD, DVDs and that type of thing. So
I do a fair amount of that in the summertime. There's different camps that you can go to for a week at a time. And I usually do a couple of those every summer.
Okay.
And, actually, just today up at North House, I did a guitar seminar for a couple of hours this afternoon. It was a good time.
Good. You have some folks that attended then, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, that usually works better.
I find
it. I've done it both ways. We did. No, it was a nice turnout, and I worked them pretty hard. So.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of guitar players. There's a lot of musicians up here.
Yeah, there really are.
That's true.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's
actually, in Minnesota in general, in the Twin Cities, is loaded with musicians, too. Yeah.
The Prairie Home Companion thing is a pretty regular deal.
Uh-huh.
How do you find time to do that, plus do these shows and traveling and all of the rest of that?
Well, I've always kind of tried to book my own shows in between weekends of the Prairie Show. And, and I'm going to be doing fewer of those these days and more of my own concert shows.
Oh, okay.
So the balance is going to go the other way for a while. I've got to seek my fame and fortune.
You're still young.
Well, I'm still young babe.
That, your last piece that you just did was a very funny, humorous piece. And you picked that up from being on the constant humor of the Prairie Home Companion show.
Well, I don't know about that, but the show has been a real good reason to write stuff.
Yeah.
What am I looking for? Inspiration or motivation? Uh-huh. More like. So I'm always kind of thinking about what might work for the weekend for the show.
Now, you book your own shows. You're off in Portland. Clearly, you're not just doing Twin City or
I'm all regional over the place.
Yeah. That doesn't get old.
Well, the travel does. Yeah. It really does, yeah. I have to say. But the playing doesn't. No, okay. I love playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And performing, it's...
Obviously shows.
It's the only thing I really know how to do.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to have a great time tomorrow night with the people you're playing with.
Oh, yeah.
Too,
but you wouldn't want me doing anything else.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want me doing your heart operation or anything.
Or painting my house.
Yeah. Well, we're running short on time, so we should do one more.
Can we got time for one more?
Can you do one more for us?
We've been listening to Pat Donahue here on The Roadhouse. Pat will be part of Unplugged tomorrow night, starting kicking off at 7:30.
And it's also the Mountain Stage broadcasts that they're going to be on, too, tomorrow. So
that Mountain Stage was just yesterday and tonight.
I thought it was tonight. Tomorrow. Maybe not. Mm. Okay.
Just Unplugged.
It's on tonight.
Yeah.
My mistake.
All right. Well.
Now that we got that solved.
If you missed that, come to the Amazing Grace next
week. Yeah.
Mississippi flows through the Southland in many a song and rhyme, and I guess I'd do well to visit the Delta someday if I get the time. But in the land of sky blue waters, she loved me then she turned me loose, with the other end of the Mississippi River blues. They got the blues down in Louisiana, and they sing them up in Memphis town, where the muddy waters flows, and everybody knows it's the cradle of that mournful sound. But somewhere up near Lake Itasca, that's right, where the mighty river starts to ooze, I got the other end of the Mississippi River blues. They got the honeysuckle vine, I got the lonesome pine. They got banjos on the levee, I got a frozen over Chevy. Well, it all ends up in New Orleans, but this is where it all begins. You can travel the wide world over, anywhere you care to roam. But if you ever go to northern Minnesota, better leave your heart at home, 'cause she'll love you, then she'll leave you crying. And brother, you'll be introduced to the other end of the Mississippi River blues. Mississippi River blues.
All right, more blues humor.
Pat Donahue. Pat, again, thank you so much for taking time to come up and be with us.
Thank you.
If you're ever back up this way, please let us know and feel free to stop in.
Thank you. I will.
Love to have you here.
All right.
Thanks so much.